And in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they, that's believers, Christians, they overcame him, that's Satan, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In his old age, probably older than me, John, who'd leaned on Jesus' bosom, was called by the Holy Spirit to write the book which we call Revelation. And the aim of the Saviour, causing the book to be written through John, was that the believers at that time and all times who were going through terrible persecutions and difficulties might be encouraged to see that these are not the end, but that they will safely get to glory. And the overall picture is given here twice in this chapter. It's picture language. It's picture language partly so that it wouldn't be understood by the authorities. But it's picture language also because the way of speaking in those days was very often to use pictures to make the point that we would make mostly by words. And first of all, there was this woman, and this woman is the Church of God. She has on her head a crown of 12 stars, the 12 tribes, but she simply stands for the New and Old Testament Church of God. And she, not Mary, but she is the one pictured here as travailing in birth and pain to be delivered of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, at one and the same time, was the dragon. And we're told that that's another word for the old serpent, that's another word for the devil, that's another word for Satan. And he stood confronting her, waiting to pounce on the newborn child and to devour it. He wasn't able to do that. But she brought forth a man-child, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So many years have passed, but this child is risen after Calvary and risen up into the presence of God. But of course it leaves believing people, his believers, still here on earth. And verse 7, there was war in heaven. Now this is going back now to Calvary, I think. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. And their place was no longer found in heaven. And he was cast out, the one who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Devils, demons, men filled with demons, deceiving the whole world, is what was happening in the time of Christians in those days and now. So they weren't to lose heart, they weren't to lose courage. And John heard a loud voice saying in heaven, this time, now, is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Heaven is cleared of all the evil, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Believers, when accused by Satan, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. And then the picture goes on, that Satan being cast down to the earth is really very mad about it because he knows he hasn't got very long, so he tries to destroy the seed of the woman, the believers in Christ. And he was angry, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And what were her seed? They're believers, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the picture is that Satan continues to make war, particularly with the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do they obtain the victory? And we're told that there are three things. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. If there's anything that Satan hates and will put him to rout, it's the blood of Christ. That blood stands, of course, for the life of the Son of God, the life of the Son of Man, the perfect man, the one who never sinned, and the one whose blood was shed in order that believers might be pardoned from their sin. Satan hates it because he's not pardoned. Satan hates it because he's the first and foremost and ultimate liar. Satan hates it because he knows that the blood of the Lamb is the only means of pardon for men, and it would have been the only means, if allowed to him, of salvation for him. So he hates the blood of the Lamb. And my point this afternoon is simply to say, the blood of the Lamb must take the most significant part in our preaching, in our believing. That those who do not yet believe themselves must think the blood of the Lamb, that blood which was shed, that blood which brought death, that blood which paid the price, the judicial price of the wrath of God upon him on behalf of every sinner's, his substitutionary death. This is what Christians believe and know and should be encouraged in. And those who are becoming Christians, they should understand the significance of the blood of the Lamb. That blood makes atonement for the soul, foretold thousands of times, or at least enacted thousands of times in Old Testament days and spoken of many, many times indeed. But the blood is the life, and the blood makes atonement for the soul. So believers overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. There are various ways you can look at it, and perhaps one of the most helpful is that when you feel the power of wickedness and of darkness assailing you, or of doubts and difficulties or depressions, plead the blood of the Lamb. Rethink for yourself of the atoning power of God, that the wickedness in our lives has been visited upon Christ and is no longer accounted to us. These are the things that Satan hates to hear. He would love us to feel low. He would love us to get depressed. He would love us to give up. But so long as they're pleading the blood of the Lamb, praying to God because of that blood and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is being defeated and he will not get the victory. Now, these things were being said to encourage the believers of those days and subsequent days to hold fast to the significance of the pardoning power of the blood of the Lamb. So this is if you like, the first and foremost thing. Now, tied up with this, of course, there are other things that aren't mentioned here. For example, after Calvary, the resurrection. And heaven, of course, is mentioned here. But the overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. We shall go to glory. We shall put Satan down. He is down, and he will not have any more power. And all those whom he seeks to bring down low, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. He hates the Lamb. He hates being reminded of the Old Testament lambs that pointed to Christ. He hates the fact that of substitutionary atonement, that the sins of man were visited upon Christ and therefore pardoned in the individual case. And the resurrection of Christ gone back to glory to prove that the Father approves of him. He hates all these things. And simply by believing them, we are a standing testimony against him. But we may plead them ourselves to the Lord if he attacks us. Now notice here that there is no question of us talking to Satan. We overcome him by our fellowship with the Lamb. We overcome him by our association with the Lamb, by our faith in the Lamb. And of course the Lamb has already thrown him out of heaven. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So this is fundamental and first and foremost in the continuing victory of Christians and the ensuing victory of Christianity down the years. And then secondly, they overcame him by the word of their testimony. The last verse in chapter 12 says, his seed keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So what is meant here by the word of their testimony is that they account all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are they saved? It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had they been atoned for? It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is their word. This is what they'll tell other people. This is what they'll witness, that they have seen and known. They have known the blood of the Lamb, pardoning them from all their sin. So their word about Christ is of personal understanding, personal knowledge of it. The fact that they will say to others, you may believe this too. And so the gospel will spread. And of course it also means not only the word of testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what is spoken of in the chapter, but also the Bible, the word of God, the word of their testimony, the word that provokes and turns them to Christ and keeps them close to Christ and speaks of all these heavenly things. They overcame him by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the word of their testimony, by their strong adherence to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by their strong adherence to the scriptures, which point to Christ and explain all these things. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So Satan himself is put to flight by these two great characteristics of believing people. And if we give our lives to Christ, if we follow him, we consecrate ourselves to him, these are the two things which we must understand. And there are three. But not everybody is called to the third one. They overcame him by the blood of their Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. The obvious meaning is, if they were martyred, they would go through martyrdom rather than concede anything to Satan. They loved not their lives unto the death. If death was required in order that they might give testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and show that the blood of the Lamb has covered them from their sins, they would do it. It didn't happen to everybody. But it would be a mark of a believer in those sort of days that not only would he overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, but also because they loved not their lives unto the death. However, maybe you could say in another sense that all believers can embrace all three of these things. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. If you do not apply it to martyrdom, then you may apply it to the mortification of the flesh. You may apply it, if you like, to the fact that constantly we are putting down in our own lives those things that militate against our faith. That we love not our lives, even till the time that we die. We put the Lord Jesus Christ first. We seek his will and guidance first. We do not seek our own interests first. We love not our lives unto the death. So there are these three great characteristics. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So John is saying, by the word of the Lord, to the disciples of that time who were going through tremendous problems, and to the disciples who would follow them, even all the way down to their age, is that you must not give in when things get difficult. That things getting difficult is not an indication that God doesn't have power to redeem. You don't give in. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and because you love not your lives unto the death. Anyone contemplating becoming a Christian, anybody desiring that their sins should be blotted out, if it seems such a vital thing to them, that they might be able to say that the blood of the Lamb has pardoned me from all my sins, must be prepared to take on board the other things to do with this verse. They must give public testimony that they love the word of God, that they believe the word of God, that they know that the Lord Jesus is pointed to in those scriptures. And they must not let their lives unto death in the sense of mortifying the flesh. And if called upon, not loving their lives even unto martyrdom. Now we do live in these latter days, the days for which Revelation was given. Though our land has been spared such things as happened in the times of Bloody Mary and before that. But it doesn't mean they won't come again. And it doesn't mean that it's not happening to thousands of believers all over the world. Sudan, Ethiopia, Iran, Iraq, China, Tibet, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Christianity in India, Japan. Everywhere there is persecution of Christians. And in many cases, it is to the death. Thousands. Martyrs weren't just the odd ones or twos in our history years ago. They're always being called upon. So we who live in these days must be sure that we trust in the blood of the Lamb, know what it means, the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony that we speak about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because we are prepared to sacrifice our lives to the Saviour by mortifying the flesh, and if need be, we would willingly go through death to maintain his cause on earth, knowing that we have eternal glory ahead of us. Fear not. One who was at the stake said to another at the stake of Oxford, fear not, ere long we shall be in the glory, and ere long the King will turn to give Bibles to everybody. They weren't the exact words. But martyrdom meant that they would be in glory in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. Martyrdom. If it happens, we must go through. They love not their lives unto the death. The things when you read, I'm thinking particularly about the Ipswich martyrs, but there are plenty of other examples. Women, their fact that they were who they were did not spare them. Women were martyred. In fact, in many cases, women gave as good as they got before the judges. Young people were martyred, 16, 17, 18 years of age. But they knew what they were doing, and they were martyred. Men of very little learning were martyred, because the one thing they did know was that the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony was supreme. We must not fail them. We must not fail the Lord. We are in one and the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So may the Lord help us and the generations of those who are going to believe because of our word to fulfill all these things. Amen.